My father's voice wakes me, thick as wool, slightly scratchy.
Get up, Hannah. It's time to get going.
Music fills the room in a cresting wave. He must be playing the koto again. Then a hand rocks my shoulder gently. I roll onto my back, flat on my futon, and open my eyes. There is no music, and I remember my father has gone off to war. My mother is there, kneeling beside me. She pours hot water from a kettle onto a fresh towel in the wash basin.
Quickly now, don't make Sensei wait.
She slips out of the room, and I lie there staring at the ceiling. Wooden slats. Darkness. The sun will rise soon. I get up. I roll my futon into a bundle, then push it into the closet. I kneel by the basin and unravel the hot towel with burning fingertips. Steam rises off it like a sail in the wind. I drape it over my face, carefully wiping the corners of my eyes, my mouth. I breathe. Rinse the towel. Slide the cotton yukata from my shoulders to my waist and wipe my chest, my arms. They said the bruising would go away in a week or two. It's been 3. What was once black and purple is now yellow and green. Almost gone, but not quite. There is a stiffness that has not left me. But I no longer limp. I should be pleased. I finish my towel bath and pull my uniform from the closet. Baggy Monpei pants, deep blue, gathered at the ankles and at the waist. I push aside my work shirt and retrieve the rest of my school uniform. Blue jacket. Midi blouse with rounded collar, a bit loose lately. My mother has taken it in twice already, as food has grown less plentiful. Folding in the seams without cutting the cloth, tacking the excess fabric down with optimistically loose stitches. As if food and peace are on the horizon, and I will need those extra inches back. For now, the cotton bunches uncomfortably beneath my arms, but we must make do. This is a season of emergencies, as was the last season, and the one before. I pull on white tabi socks, split between the big and second toe, brush my hair in quick, long strokes, and tie it into a knot at the back of my neck. In the kitchen, a rice ball and a weak cup of hot tea await me. I use the tea to wash the taste of ash and dirt from my mouth. It's there every morning now, these past 3 weeks, no matter how I scrape my tongue or rinse with water. The rice sticks in my throat, but I know my duty. For a week I would not eat, and I fainted on my first day back with my classmates. Now I do not faint. I swallow the rice, drink the tea. Okasan, I'm leaving, I call to my mother. She is in the front room, the one that contains my father's tailoring business. The morning is dim outside, the house darker still. She sits at a low cutting table, sorting through scraps of fabric too small to be of use on their own. When the sun comes up fully, she will pull back the shutters and sew the scraps together by the light of day. Something can always be made of what remains, she says. I hope she is right.
Have a good day, Hannah. Give Kaori-sensei my best. And see if your farmer has any onions to trade. This patchwork would make decent pants for children.
I will, Okasan. My mother believes I still work in the fields with my classmates, that I help the farmers indoors with their tallies, their bookkeeping. Hence my clean collar, my school uniform instead of work clothes. She believes this because it is what I have told her. It's what we have been instructed to say to protect our families from worry. And the first lie I've ever told my mother. I bow, slip my feet onto my platform geta, the cloth thong tucked snugly in the notch of my tabi, and slide open the front door. There are both Western and Japanese houses here in Chidan. On the main street around the corner, many buildings have hinged doorways. Some even have display windows. Covered in blackout cloth now, of course. The whole world has become darker in recent years. Lanterns at night are targets for the enemy.